Questions and answers. Question. Lust is love, and love comes from God. So if I'm feeling lusty or acting in a lusty way, does this mean that what I really want is God? Answer. Yes. It means that even the greatest cheaters, abusers, manipulators, alcoholics, or drug addicts really want God in their deepest inner consciousness. Their focus is just misdirected. We all want to be with our best friend in the most beautiful environment there is. We all long for perfect reciprocation, perfect love, and perfect happiness. Ultimately, we must learn that all such perfection can only be found with God. Although we are all looking for the same thing, lust improperly directs our energies and distorts our behavior. Because lust is merely misplaced love, nothing exists in this material creation except love in various degrees of disarray. That is why we all feel a little empty. We all long to be more love. If someone says, "I love you, I love you, I love you," we respond, "Oh, tell me again. Say it more slowly, say it more romantically, say it with more feeling. Oh, please tell me I'm your greatest love. And promise that I'll always be the most important person in your life. And keep on reminding me." We are always looking for love, because love is the only quality that is actually missing in our lives. Unfortunately, because we are covered with lust, we keep trying to find that love outside of ourselves, in drugs, alcohol, prestige, wealth, power, or countless other misguided ways. But these substitutes never make us happy. We will only be fulfilled when we discover pure, unadulterated love, which is always available if we know where to look for it. Question. All around me, I see competition in the drive to get to the top, and I see it in myself, too. Now that I'm listening to you, I wonder, aren't we foolish to engage in such behavior when we're all in such a fallen state to begin with? Answer. Yes. Actually, from the perspective of more evolved beings in other realms, we are all handicapped and at a primitive level of evolution. Our gross material bodies are not refined, and yet in our egocentric way, we are extremely proud of them. Just think about it. Our physical bodies are filled with stool, urine, pus, blood, and parasites. What is there to be so proud of? It is idiotic to be conceited about belonging to a certain race, or about our physique, the color of our eyes, or the length of our hair. Given that we are all in prison, why should we be proud because our prison suit is a little lighter, darker, taller, or shorter? It is still a prison suit. Until we realize our true condition, we can never be properly spiritual. As long as we have difficulty understanding that material life is bondage, we will have to wear prison suits of different qualities until we get exhausted. Many souls do just that, moving from an Asian body to a European body to an African body to an Indian body and back again. That is why the great prophets come into this environment and try to get us out of this place. We must experience that which we reject or condemn in order to evolve. If we demonstrate a lack of respect for the opposite sex, we must come back again as the other sex to experience that polarity more fully. The most racist people now may be reborn as members of the race they abhor. Many slave masters or people who were involved in the slave trade have had to reincarnate in black bodies to help counteract what they have done, just as many Nazis have returned as Jews and many other American settlers have come back as Native Americans. Materially speaking, people are not all alike. Everybody is different, even twins. Each soul has an individual identity. But at the same time, as parts and parcels of God, all souls are qualitatively the same, whatever the covering, whether the body is infantile, adult, male, female, black, or white. If we are serious about spiritual development, we must focus on the soul. As long as we put the body first, we will continue to be prisoners until we become exhausted with our suffering and are ready to learn how to live like free men and women. Being free means living as spiritual beings. Spiritual beings do not get caught up in the suffering that the rest of us must experience for our growth. Instead, they learn from it. If you do not want to grow, you might as well admit that you are comfortable in your prison. That is all right. It just has nothing to do with spiritual life. Question. How can you or other spiritual teachers help us conquer lust? Answer. In countless ways. Just remember that we're not interested in teaching you how to remain slaves or prisoners. We love you too much to play the illusion game with you. We're not going to pat you on the back about how well you are enjoying your prison house. You've come to the wrong place if you want somebody to stroke you because you have beautiful blue eyes, nice afro hair, a powerful physique, or a beautifully shaped body. Your body is already starting to fall apart. Just look in the mirror. What do you think is going to happen 20, 30, or 40 years from now? You may have trouble walking. You may have difficulty sleeping. You may find it hard to eat. For all the care you give your physical body, sooner or later it will deteriorate. So why should we work overtime helping you perpetuate your attachment to something temporary? It is your soul that will remain with you, and that is what connects you with God. If you do not want to be beautiful in a spiritual way, do not bother pondering these discussions any further. Our commission, or our responsibility as spiritual mentors, is to give you knowledge about how to go back to the spiritual world. If we fail to do that, we are held accountable. Therefore, if we see problems and do not address them, we are not fulfilling our mission and are instead accepting hypocrisy. When ministers, priests, prophets, or other spiritual leaders tolerate hypocrisy, they become hypocrites themselves. We do not coerce. We apply no pressure, but we serve as constant mirrors for you to gaze into, reminding you that you are not this body, that you are spiritual beings connected with God, and that you are eternal. We are of no help if we simply reinforce your belief that you are a temporary body. No one is temporary in essence. We are eternal beings who are just carrying some temporary baggage. If you want to make your temporary baggage a priority, then go where people encourage such a mentality. They may tell you that you are special because of your blue eyes and blonde hair, or because of your African-American heritage, or because you are born wealthy. Nonsense. You are special because you're connected with God, because you are His servant. We are all children of the Lord, and everyone is part of the Lord's family. Remember, we must put nothing before God. That is the value of associating with spiritual people. They can encourage each other to deepen their love, to put nothing before the Lord, and to recognize that the soul is the actual person, not the body. We are all beautiful, and we are all eternal.